I'm going to tell you one of those things that you know intuitively, but you never really thought about, just because, well, you wouldn't have any reason to. When preachers talk about preaching, they will tell you that there is a spectrum of messages. There is, on one end, what's called prophetic preaching, which is grab you by the lapel, slap you upside the head, and say, get yourself together, man. You need to get right with God. And then on the other end of the spectrum is what's sometimes called pastoral preaching, which is, Jesus loves you. It's going to be okay. Can I give you a hug? And if you've been in church for any length of time, you know this continuum, and you've experienced this continuum. And if we're honest, we know we need the full breadth of that continuum. And my goal today over the next 20 minutes is to hit both ends of the continuum. That's what I want to do. Because here's what's happening. There is all this transition stuff going on in our lives. It is happening in this world constantly. This is a very unsettled world we're living in. It is fire season in Southern California. Everybody's twitchy. Last week out in the patio, every conversation I was hearing or I was having was, do you have power? Did you not have power? People were like, yeah, we had power, but then we didn't, or we thought we weren't, but we did, or we didn't, or we lost it for a week, we had to throw out some chicken. You know, it was those conversations everywhere. And plus, in jobs, it's always in transition, for particularly those of you who work in the industry. You might have a job now, but you're not going to have that same job in 3 months, and you have no idea what's going to be next. And we're all dealing with this stuff. We deal with job stuff, with family stuff, with kids going to new schools, with new grades, and all these things. It is a unsettled world that we live in. And plus, as a new layer of that, we've got all this stuff going on at church. As you heard just a few minutes ago, we're having the vote next week for calling a new pastor. I don't know what this place is going to look like a year from now, but it's going to look different. So it's a very unsettled world that we live in. And what I want to do is take a look at the life of Abraham, who lived 4,000 years ago, and say, what does this teach us today? What do we have? What do we learn from this? All right, let's start here. Let's start with this passage that Kathy just read for us. Chapter 12 of Genesis. God says to Abram, now, as I'm talking about this morning, you're going to hear both Abram and Abraham, because he starts out as Abram, but then halfway through the story, God changes his name to Abraham. And it's important in the story, but not important for what I'm doing today. So just don't worry about it. Abram, Abraham, same guy. Okay? God says to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. Now think about it. He's living in this city called Ur. And it's Ur of the Chaldeans, which is today southern Iraq. And God says, you've been living here all your 75 years. This is everybody you've known, everybody you're related to, all your property, all your livestock, all the stuff. You're going to take your wife, your family, your household, your goods, and you're going to move on. But you're leaving your country, you're leaving your father's house, and you're going to this land I am going to show you. That's got to be scary. Even though God lays out all these promises for him, all this stuff that's going to happen, it's still got to be terrifying. Think about it. Even when God calls you to something good, it's still scary because you're leaving behind what you've known. I was having coffee with a guy this week, and he was telling me about this new job he's just been offered. And he's saying, you know, I'm so excited about this. He said, I've been out here in California for 8 years. It's been great. He says, my daughter's been born out here. All this stuff has happened, but I'm so excited about this. He's like, I worked my tail off for this job. I know it's where God is calling me. It's going to be great for my family. All this stuff. I says, how do you feel about it? He says, I'm terrified. Because even though he's got this new thing, it's leaving behind everything he's had. This is a natural thing for us. Let's go back take a look at when the people of Israel go into the promised land. In Joshua chapter 1, 600 years after Abraham, Abraham's descendants have become a great nation. They have been in slavery in Egypt. God calls them out of slavery, takes them out of Egypt, puts them in the wilderness. They spend 40 years in the wilderness, and then they're finally going to cross over the River Jordan, and they're going to go into the promised land. And what does God tell them? He says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. They have spent hundreds of years in slavery. They spent 40 years, a whole generation, in the wilderness. And now they're ready to go into the promised land. And what is God saying? Don't be afraid. I'll be with you. He says this because this is perfectly natural for us. When we're ready to go into this new place, when we're ready to go where God has called us, it's still scary. If it was easy, we wouldn't need God. If it was fine, we wouldn't need to rely on Him. But when He calls us into these places, He says, don't be afraid. I'll be with you. All this stuff is happening in our lives, in our congregation, in our society. And even when God calls us to stuff, it's scary. Maybe even especially when God calls us to stuff, it's scary. But it's in those times that we want to especially rely on Him, that we want to especially say, we need you. Because He's there with us. And He's calling us to those new places. Now let's switch gears here for a minute. We're talking about the whole continuum. Let's switch gears to the prophetic side of things. And I want to give you this warning. And to give you this warning, I got to go back 2,000 years to the Apostle Stephen. See, in Acts chapter 7, this group of people kind of put Stephen on trial. And they're threatening to kill him. And Stephen does what any good preacher does. He lays out this sermon, which goes on for days. Okay? And he's not just filibustering. He is laying out his case. And to lay out his case, he lays out the whole history of the nation of Israel. He lays it out. He says, okay, God calls Abraham, and then He does this, and then He does this, and then He does this, and He does this, and then you got the kings, and then you got the prophets, and that's how you get Jesus. He's laying out this airtight case of everything that happens. But in the process, Stephen lays out this little interesting sidebar, which picks up a couple of threads there in Genesis, which Kathy just read for us. You see, what happens is God calls Abram out of Ur. I think that was an amen. We're going to go with an amen there. Okay? So much cuteness. I love that. All right, so God calls Abram out of Ur. But then, as we see here, out of the land of the Chaldeans, and he settled in Haran. It's like God calls him out of Ur, and then he goes a little bit, stops, and then after Abram's father dies, then he continues on to the promised land. Now, what some commentators have speculated, and I think this is true, that when Abram goes, he goes with his wife, his nephew, and his father, and they go to this place called Haran, where Abram's brother probably died. And then when Abram's father died, then they're able to move on. It's like God calls you out of Santa Clarita and you get as far as Pasadena. And then you stop there for a while. And Pasadena is great, I love it. But it's not the end point. And so I show you this to give you this very important warning. When God calls you to that new place, don't get stuck. It's very, very easy to get stuck and remember the place you've been. And you'd say, well, that was great. God called us there at that point, and it was wonderful, and God spoke to us. Think about the people of Israel. God calls them out of slavery and puts them in the wilderness. They spend 40 years in the wilderness where God speaks to them. God gives them the Ten Commandments. God speaks to them out of a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud, and He does all these amazing things. And then He puts them in the promised land. And the problem is they wanted to go back where they'd been before. they wanted to go back to that place where God had spoke to them. It is a natural tendency to go back to that time when things were good. Go back to that time when God spoke to us, that time when it was the good old days. I worked at a church once, and they had this founding pastor who had been there for 40 years, and it was this amazing church back in the day, back in the glory days, literally thousands of people there on a Sunday morning. And that pastor had retired after 40 years of ministry in that congregation. And then 15 years later, I was there. I was still in seminary at the time. I was still well wet behind the ears. And I was there, and they were still worshiping the time that that founding pastor had been there. And they were still putting up new pictures of him and talking about those days when he was there and things were good. And it was interesting because I'm like, okay, it was 15 years ago. I was in elementary school when that happened. That was three presidents ago. And they're like, yeah, but that was when things were good. That's how it should be. It's like, no. God is calling us to something new. God is calling us to this new place. And it's easy to get stuck. It's easy to go back to that place where it's always been, where it's been good. But God calls you to something new. And we know it's scary, and God knows it's scary, and that's why he says, be strong and very courageous, and I'm with you. And what I want to encourage you is to say, yes, it is going to be different around here. Yes, your lives are going to be different. Yes, things happen. Kids transition to new grades and new schools and new stages of life. But it's okay. It's tough, but it's okay. And God loves you, and God is with you in that. Don't be afraid. Now, I want to give you one other really interesting piece out of this, which is this. We don't get to see the whole story. We don't get to see everything play out. I have been here almost 12 years. It'll be 12 years in January. And I am now to the point where the kids who are in high school when I got here have graduated from high school and college and done all these amazing things. Last week we had a wedding here, and it was a kid who was in high school when I got here, graduated from high school, did a stint in the Marine Corps, came back, got married, got his life all together, married this great gal. At 11 o'clock we're doing a baptism for the daughter of one of the kids who was in high school when I was here. I worked with another kid. She's not a kid anymore, but she was a kid when I got here. Went to college. She was on staff here for a while. And it was so much fun relating to her in that new way as a colleague, not as a student. But this congregation is going to keep evolving. And the people in it are going to keep evolving. And the people in our lives are going to keep evolving. And we're never going to see the end of it. This congregation was started 62 years ago. Nobody here remembers how it started. I mean, we've read the papers, we've seen the pictures, but we weren't here. And God willing, none of us will be here when this congregation closes. I don't know how long this congregation will be here. I'm sure decades, hopefully centuries. I've been to churches that have lasted millennia. But I hope we have a good, long run. And I hope none of us are around here to see the end of it. I want this to be thriving for centuries to come. And it is beautiful for us to remember that we only get a glimpse of it. We only get a segment of it. Our part of it is not the end. It's not the beginning. It's just a chunk. Last week for All Saints Sunday, Pastor Joe was quoting extensively from Hebrews. And I love Hebrews, particularly chapter 11, where he was talking about what he was talking about. And there is this beautiful passage in there that he didn't get a chance to quote last week. But the author of Hebrews is talking about all the people who've gone before. He's talking about Noah and Abram and David and all these prophets and all the judges and everything else. And he says this: all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. They were admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. Think about this. Moses leads the people of Israel out of Egypt, crosses through the Red Sea, spends all this time in the wilderness, gets them to the very edge of the Promised Land, right to there to the River Jordan, but he doesn't get to go in. Joshua, his successor, is there to take them in, but he doesn't live long enough for the kings. David and the other kings lived through the times of the prophets, but they never got to see Jesus. It continues, and it always continues, and you will have your place in that tapestry. You have that place in your kingdom, in the kingdom. But we don't think we're the end, because there are generations to come after us. Now, there is one last important piece that we need to come up with always. Back to what Kathy read for us out of Genesis chapter 12. God says to Abram, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Pay attention to that last line. All the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. We are not blessed just to be blessed. We are not given these gifts just so we can be happy and have all these wonderful things. We are given this to share. You are here this morning because somebody, somewhere along the way, said, hey, here's who Jesus is to me. Jesus loved me. Jesus gave me this purpose. Jesus gave me purpose when I was lost. Jesus gave me hope when I had no hope. Jesus gave me a sense of being and sense that I know that I matter when nobody else believed in that. And we are called to share that. We are put here in Santa Clarita to share that with this valley. That's why we're here. To share that love. Every year at Vacation Bible School, we have literally hundreds of kids here and hundreds of adults and hundreds of volunteers, and they're all here. And a large chunk of those kids have no recollection, no memory, no understanding of who Jesus is. And they are here to hear that, and we share that with them. And we bless people materially, too. As I said, Pastor Joe and Stephen and Candace, and they got a crew out there right now bringing all these coats to Black Mesa. Hundreds of coats to people who would be cold otherwise this winter. We are called to bless them. And I want you to get this, that however this place looks in a year, in 2 years, in 5 years, in 20 years, when those kids who are getting baptized right now are growing up and having kids of their own, however this place looks, we are here for that, to share that blessing. Music is going to change, the faces are going to change, but that remains the same. So we are called to be strong and courageous and go to the places where God calls us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you so much in the midst of all the transition and all the uncertainty. We can be certain that you are our God and that you will always be faithful. Help us to see that. Help us to follow you. Amen.